accession number 20589, reel 2.
Reel 2, Raymond Wigmore. So tell me your army number.
144 14 512. May I say something here? Up until about the middle of 1942 or thereabouts, they had regimental numbers. The Oxford Book's first three digits of the regimental number was 538. Well, I joined up just after they stopped regimental numbers and went to eight-digit army numbers.
So why did they stop that?
I don't know. Well, I suppose they would have run out of that first three digits because they went on to 539. And they would have overlapped with other regiments, presumably. And my number was 144 14 512. And I was in the army some time before I realised that the first three digits, 144, was only issued to people who enlisted. So anyone with a 144 number enlisted and wasn't called up. The people that was called up the same time as me were 143. The people who enlisted were 144. And I didn't realise that until I'd been in the army some months before I realised that I had a number like that.
So did you have to learn your army number when you first got it?
I wrote mine down.
You
but they were on the wall of the barrack room on the notice board. It doesn't take long to learn it, like a phone number. Yeah.
So, how long were you at Colchester?
Until about the May 43, about 6 months.
So what did you do in your spare time then? I mean, it was a big barracks, wasn't it?
Well,
camp.
A Saturday afternoon, there was an old army saying, in bed or out of barracks. But I used to go out, because it depended a great deal on if you had any money.
So if you'd got some money, where would you go?
In the penny arcade. No, I was only a boy.
What would other people do?
Well, I don't think you didn't used to see many in the pub because they didn't have the money. A fish and chip shop. Get two pennies of chips. But you mustn't walk around. There were quite a few military police in Colchester keeping people in order. You wouldn't walk around the streets eating fish and chips out of a newspaper. Oh no, that wasn't allowed.
So where would you eat them?
Well, in the chip shop.
So what else did you see in Colchester town?
Well, it was the spring and the summer. Well, it is a spring that I was there. And we used to go Saturday and Sunday afternoon, as I said, the cattle grounds.
What went on there?
Well, nothing. Just walking around and looking at the gardens. The gardens and that there.
Did you meet or talk to any of the local people?
No. I saw an advertisement once for a dance a church dance in the church hall, and I went there one Saturday night. One Sunday afternoon, I followed the Salvation Army to their citadel and had a sing-song. But I used to be on my own, you see.
Had you always been a person on their own, like at school?
I suppose so, yes. Mm-hmm. I've got friends, but I used to go out with different people, but I found they wanted to do different things than you wanted to do.
What sort of things did they do?
Oh, there was, I think there was a forces canteen in Colchester. Yes, we used to go to the forces canteen in Colchester. Yeah. Well, I used to go out with people, but this particular time I went to that church dance, I was on my own, and when I followed the Salvation Army back, I was on my own.
So you had a girlfriend at home at this time?
Oh, yes, yes.
You still got her?
55 years, this next Friday.
Did you miss her a lot?
Yes, well, she was an evacuee from East London. And she used to have trouble with lodgings. And then she started work, and she used to have trouble with the lodging. She, people wanted to make money out of lodgers, but she just didn't have the money. And, yes, we were. In fact, she had my only girlfriend. She was the only girl I've ever been out with.
So, I just moved that bit. I can hear your fingers on your
face. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll move it away for the
That's a habit of mine.
And so did you watch the newsreels? Did you know what was going on in the war? Because lots of things...
Well, we used to go to the pictures. They used to have a newspaper in the Naffy quiet room. The Naffy had what they called a quiet room where you could go to write letters, and there usually used to be a newspaper in there, and you saw the newsreels. You knew generally what was going on, yes.
Did your officers tell you what was happening?
Did who?
The officers tell you what was happening?
Oh, yes, we used to have current affairs. A lecture about once a week. Current affairs, that's right, yes.
And that was all about the war, was it?
Yes, I suppose so. I can't remember, but it was the... We used to have a Padre's Hour and a Current Affairs Hour.
Oh, right. So what was the Padre's Hour like?
It was usually... You didn't get religion thrust down your throat. It was usually family relationships and and being apart from home, being away from home. It didn't affect me much, but it was the married men mainly. Yeah.
What did you think of the Padre?
Well, I can't remember the one at Colchester specifically, but I don't think they really understood our working class.
Were they quite middle class, were they?
Yeah, I should say so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So if anyone did have a problem...
Or you could go to the Padre, yes.
Yeah. Or who else could you go to?
Well, you would go to the the company commander and ask to have an interview with the padre.
Did many people have problems?
Not to my knowledge, no. No, not to my knowledge, because I wasn't affected.
So what about the your drilling? Because you were an infantryman, weren't you?
Yeah.
Did you do the light infantry?
Light infantry drill was very fast, 140 paces to the minute. And we just did it by platoon, and it was a vast difference between heavy infantry drill and light infantry drill. Vast difference.
So you were light infantry.
Yes, there was no such. You did everything from the stand at ease position. There was no such command as attention. But they never used the word attention. You did it all from the stand at ease position. And if you stood at ease, right turn, you came to attention, turn right, then stood at ease again.
Why was that?
Goes back to tradition, I suppose. Back to the 18th century when the regiment was founded by Sir John Moore at, can't remember.
So, were you proud of being light infantry?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Why was that?
You're quick. A quick movement. You didn't slope arms. You carried the rifle in drill. You carried the rifle at the trail, down by the right thigh, in your right hand, down by the right thigh at the point of balance. You didn't slope arms. What's happened? And you were smart and quick. Quick movements.
Did you know how you might be deployed? Did you know how they might use you in war?
In a rifle company, which is what happened.
So you knew where you were going?
Oh yes, I knew, yeah.
So did you do a lot of route marches at
Colchester? I think at Colchester we gradually worked up. I can't remember exactly, but I should say that we worked up to about 7 or 8 miles. But it was more of a march discipline. And I remember once on this march, on the route march, we had the gas alarm. They blew whistles, so many blasts on a whistle, and you stopped and got a gas cape out of your pack and your little packet of cotton wool and stuff to dab it, mustard gas off of your skin and that kind of thing. And then the gas alarm was over and you packed it all back up and carried on marching.
What did you think about that? I mean, gas is very frightening.
The gas training was very boring. We went into a gas chamber with a gas mask on, a tear gas, I think it was. They had a gas chamber, you went through that once at Colchester, but I can't remember much gas training after that.
What did people think about the gas training? Was it quite frightening?
The gas training? It was frightening when you had to take your gas mask off in this gas chamber until they opened the door. But there was some officer that opened the door and you all dashed out pretty quick. But I only did it the once. I can't remember a lot about it.
Did you do any boxing or any sports?
No. I played one game of football at Colchester and it was so rough that from then on my sport was cross-country running. I was on my own. I didn't mind cricket. I like cricket. But a body contact sport, so I avoided them all the rest of my service.
Did you do much cross-country running at Colchester?
Only as a train of fitness, but later on, especially after the war in Palestine, I did quite a lot.
So what about weapons training?
Oh yes.
What did you do?
Oh wow. Rifle, after two or three, I can't remember, after about 3 weeks, we had a firing rifle on the range. You had to zero a rifle sight, the foresight, like the one at the front. That had to be dead in line and the dead height for you. It might not be right for another person, but it had to be right for you. And to get that zeroed, oh, zeroing they used to call it, yeah, zeroing. And you had to get a 4-inch group. That's your 5 bullets had to be in a small group and they could see how the armourer could see what wanted doing to your foresight, a different size, or they used to have a gauge to screw it over.
So who did the rifle training?
The platoon sergeant and his NCOs. The platoon sergeant, I never mentioned. He was quite nice, actually. He, human. Very human. Some of them were not quite.
Do you remember his name?
Whittle. My very first, yes, I loved him. He was very human. Whittle.
So how many times did you go on the range to practice this? Lots of times.
Yes, after we did zeroing, I think we went to do rifle shooting at 300 yards. And I used to like snap, what they called snap.
What's that?
Where they put a white target, a silhouette of a person crouched, put it up for some, for, I don't know, 2 seconds or 3 seconds. They put it up above the parapet of the butts. And I think it was up there for about, when you did it in the butts, you counted. You put it up, 1, 2, 3, and take it down. I used to love that.
Were you good at it?
Snap. Well, I don't think I was any better or any worse than anyone else. I think I was about average.
Did you have to take turns of going in the butts?
Oh, yes, yes. And then after each practice, what they called practice, they used to call it paste up. And you had a pot of paste and some squares of same colour paper, which I think was a greyish colour, and you pasted up the holes made by the previous firer. And then the target was ready for the next group to practice.
So So what other rifle practice did you do? You did snap and...
Well, you fired at... I don't think... at Colchester. I don't think we went further back than 300. Ordinary rifle target shooting, this is what I was talking about, and snap.
Did you train with other weapons?
Oh, yes, yes.
What ones?
A Bren gun. At that time, we didn't have a Sten gun, I don't think. A Bren gun. They had what they called a boy's anti-tank rifle. It was a half inch on a, I think it was on a bipod. It was a large rifle on a bipod, and it was half inch a caliber, boy's anti-tank rifle, but that went, I only ever saw it, practiced it once, that went, because they weren't effective. Bren gun, a grenade, we threw two grenades.
What was that like, first time?
I think the people in the butch with you were more afraid than what you were yourself. It had been known for someone to pull the pin out and then drop it without having thrown it. But that's only a story, I think.
What was the training like? What did the chap say to you about the grenades?
The 36 grenade, the Mills bomb, what the old-fashioned First War, it's a First War weapon, Mills bomb. It had a split pin, which you pulled out, and you lobbed it over the parapet, sandbags, and you had to watch it drop, because you had two fuses, I think. One was 4 seconds and one was 7 seconds. Well, I suppose we had the 7 second fuse, but you threw it, you lobbed it over the parapet, and you had to stay up until you saw it land and then get down. And I think I did it all right, but some of them, directly it left their hand, they were down. But that was wrong. You had to watch it land, because you had 7 seconds, which is a long time, really. And there were various grenades, but of course I came into contact with them when I was in the battalion.
Any other weapons they trained you in at Colchester?
We had bayonet practice.
Now, what was that like?
A bit noisy.
What did they make you do?
Shout. And on this, it was a sack stuffed full of rags, and it had the what did they call? Vulnerable points. Oh, it was horrible. They had rings on, like a neck, stomach and groin, and you had to push the bayonet in one of these. I don't, well, it was, I was only a kid. I used to do it as good as anyone.
Did a lot of people find that difficult?
Well, you just used to run about, and as you stuck the bayonet in this sack, you had to shout. I can't think of any other weapon. Rifle, brain gun. We didn't have a Sten gun. A boy's anti-tank rifle. Grenade. Because the Piat, the anti-tank, projector infantry anti-tank, wasn't brought out then. I think my time at Colchester was they were doing away with all the old stuff and bringing in new. I mean, I can remember weapon training, all kind of weapons. But at that time, I think we never touched the Vickers. I did later on in my service, but there was no, he didn't touch a Vickers, a medium machine gun. That was a specialist job. But they was at the changeover point there, I think.
What were the instructors like? I mean, did they shout at you a lot? What were the sergeants?
Oh, no, they were all right. Well, I think the reason for that was is that you had so many older type married men with children. I mean, I felt sorry for them, really. They only used to pick up about 3 and 6 pence a week after they made all their allowances. I used to pick up 17 and 6. And I never saved anything.
So you were much better off.
Oh, yes. But then if you came home on a 36-hour pass, you had to buy your own railway ticket. And I think the railway ticket from Colchester to Oxford was over £1. So you always had to save a bit.
Did you manage to get back to Oxford many times?
Well, as a Colchester, I had a couple of 36-hour passes. And then when you finish there, I had a week's 7 days leave.
So that was before you went on to your next posting?
Yes.
Did your girlfriend think about that? Because, I mean, she knew you were going closer to the war then.
I don't know. I don't think we ever talked about it. I used to come home and we used to go to a dance because she was in the YWCA, Young Women's Christian Association. We used to go to a dance. That was before Oxford was changed like it is now. We used to go to a dance in the assembly room, something like that.
Were you proud of being home in your uniform and looking like a man?
Well, everybody else was serving in different services. Yes, I suppose so.
So that's the end of Reel 2.